السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
يا أهلا وسهلا. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله.
Daddy, how are you?
الحمد لله.
I'm fine too. Thanks for asking.
Again?
I'm fine too. Thanks for asking.
الله.
My voice is obviously, if you've been on Instagram with me, my voice was really bad the past few days. It's just started to come back yesterday, but then I had a cough attack on the way here, so it's even raspier than it should be. But I'm back today with Baba, which is interesting because apparently today's Father's Day again.
Again?
I don't know. Today, all suddenly, I have so many people posting Happy Father's Day. I'm like, what did I miss?
Suddenly, I feel spoiled. Too many of them in a year.
There's been like a few this year, I feel.
Yeah.
Which is wild. Okay, so you and I were talking on the you and I were speaking on the phone the other day. And then we're like, oh, this should have been a podcast episode. So then we're like, okay, fine, let's save it for the podcast. And I had basically finished an appointment and I had passed by a saddle on Al Wasl Road to get an iced coffee just to drive home, okay? And enjoy it on the ride home. So if you don't understand what saddle is, it's basically a little coffee shop, but there's nowhere to sit. You park with your car and the beautiful men and women come out and they take your order and then they bring the drink to your car. That's the whole point of it. It's like one of those drink as you go or eat while you sit in the car type of places. And the locals love it and I love it. Their coffee is really good. Their little egg muffins and stuff are really lovely. Anyway, it was, what time was it? It was smack dab in the middle of like the heat. Do you know what I mean? In the middle of the day. So anyway, I'm parked in the car and I beeped a few times for someone to come. No one came. I beeped again. No one came. I beeped again and I could tell they were looking like, who's beeping, you know? And I was like, it's fine. It's hot. Bless their souls. They're in the heat serving you. It's okay. He comes to me and I made a joke. I'm like, you guys are ignoring me. And he was like, no, ma'am. And we laughed, you know? I was like, and he said, sorry. I was like, no, don't apologize. I'm just joking. Anyway, took my order. Very sweet. I even gave them a tip because God bless them. They're in the heat. Someone comes and parks right next to me. It's a girl. I'm not going to say much. I'm just going to say, same thing happened to her. She's beeping. No one, they're looking for her. I see them. It's the same thing happening again. But the only difference is when she rolls her window down, the look on her face was so vicious. And the thing is, she's a young woman with the lip fillers and the Botox and the brows, mind you. I don't know why you're beautifying yourself on the outside. When on the inside, it was venom because the way she looked at him, the way she yelled at him, and I could hear her from my closed window, you know? And he was just apologizing. And I wanted to be like, just have a little bit of mercy. You're in the comfort of your tinted car with your AC. You're gonna get your coffee. Yeah, okay, they were a few minutes late, but it was just this concept of how vicious she was. And it really reminded me of a quote. You know the quote that says, God will put you back together. This quote, God will put you back together in front of the people who broke you. It really made me think of God will break you in front of the people you tried to break. You know what I mean? If you don't walk around in your everyday life without that being a certainty in your mind, and like, in kasart bani adam, Allah biksirak, in rafat bani adam, Allah birfaak, which means if you break someone, God will break you. And if you help someone rise, God will help you rise in this life or the next. If you don't walk about your life like that is an ultimate truth, oh, I really weep for your soul, like truly, wholeheartedly. I fear for your soul.
No wonder vanity is the mother of all sins.
It is the mother of all sins. This concept that you beautified yourself so much on the outside, to be fair, I'm going to say attempt to beautify because you could see those fillers a mile away, just to be so vicious towards the smallest person who really needs your little dose of kindness. What are you doing?
You know, I was talking to a dear person in my life. As a woman, she asked me if she's sweet, if she's cute. And I was like bluntly candid about it.
Yeah.
I said, sometimes you're sweet, sometimes you're cute. But that does not make you sweet and cute.
Yeah.
Because to be sweet is to be sweet all the time.
All the time. It's your predisposition.
And to be cute is to be cute all the time. And, well, bad news, girls, it's not up for you to decide if you are cute and sweet.
Yeah.
It's for the recipient.
That's true, of course.
It's this idea that it's okay for a woman to audit herself and come up with the result and shove it in your face that I am this.
Yeah.
It's, you see, no wonder we need to go back to a sense of authority, a sense of guidance, a sense of higher form of power. Before it was the wise man of the family, be it the grandfather, then beside him the grandmother, then the father and the mother, then the bigger family around you, then the society telling you what is right and what is wrong. Nowadays, it's left for us to audit our own behavior.
Yeah. Yeah, you always tell me something. I think when I talk to you about certain people that I've encountered or certain things that I'm going through, and I'll tell you, for example, they're smart or they've worked really hard or they're really good at what they do. And you would tell me, why? Because they claimed so? The market doesn't want what they're offering. No one is grabbing or wanting what it is that they're claiming they're so great at. So are they actually great? And I understand that to a certain extent, because there is also the sense of when you have a talent and you keep getting the door shut in your face and receiving so many no's and about perseverance. But there is a fine line between perseverance and no one actually wants what you are offering. You know what I mean? But can I ask actually, how can you tell the difference?
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you.
Because people will wonder. I'm actually wondering.
You see it in unemployed men, an unwanted woman, unmarried woman. Unemployed men will talk to you about how good they are in this and that and this and that. Yet they are not doing anything. They are not carrying a project. They are not they are not fiddling with a small startup. They are not even genuinely seeking a good job.
Where?
Most of the time.
But I'm talking about, for example, just to put it in much simpler terms, actors, when they'll tell you the amount of no's that I got, the amount of rejection, but he'll tell you I'm meant to be an actor and I know I could be great, but you're like, yeah, but no one's hiring you. But then lo and behold, they become the Daniel Day-Lewis of today. So that's what I mean. How do you know? Is it true grit and true passion and you actually have talent and something that will be desired?
I think we talked about this before.
I know, refresh it, because I actually... Yeah.
It's
no, we talked about what you're good at, and we said people will tell you, oh, you're actually pretty great at writing. Oh, you're actually quite funny.
Thank you.
But that's not what I'm talking. But how would, like, let's say you could be a great entrepreneur, you could be a great actor, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you, Dad, actually, yeah, you are a great actor. I've never seen you act. You've been told no a million times. What I'm saying is, انت بينك وبين حالك, between you and yourself. Forget people. How would I know? I've been given so many no's, but I know this is my calling. I know I just need to keep going. And they tell you it's right when you're about to give up that subhanAllah, the door is open.
You see, between delusion and inspiration is a thin line.
Okay.
It's called accountability.
Okay.
Those people who have real, genuine talent, and they know they have it, they have this habit of going back to what they have and examine it. And compare it to others and work on it and take small steps. Perseverance is really, even if you are accused of being delusional, but there are certain indicators there that says that you have it. There is a good tangible result. At least few people agree with it. At least you are a painter, let's say. You are a singer, right? You did not find yet the company that will adopt you, or the producer who will just throw $10 million on your feet so you can. But how many people around you do you have a good voice?
Like, keep going. Okay. I understand. I'm just saying, back to what we were saying about the sweetness. Yeah. It's just an interesting thing, because there are also sometimes, because I am one of those people where... There was a limited amount of time in my life. Actually, that's a lie. That's not even limited. For the majority of my life, it was only you, my dad, who believed in me. Truly. There was a long period of time where everyone and their mother told me I was a waste of breath. I was wasted potential. I would never amount to anything. Let's just wrap it up and go home. And you were the only one in my corner going like, no, you're my daughter. I know what you are. I know what I raised you to be. You will surpass them all. And mind you, I believed the majority for a long period of time, and I did want to wrap it up and end it. But there was that little voice in my head that was like, I will prove everyone wrong.
I'll confess to a secret.
Confess to a secret,
yes. I despise them all for taking that stance of you.
Despise them all?
Really. And I find it still hard to forgive them for that. Because your talent was so clear. But your fear and anxiety and lack of confidence was clearer.
Yeah, my self-sabotage and my rebelliousness. It was. I don't know how adults could not see what a cry for help that was. It blows my mind because when I see someone move that way, I literally sit them down. I'm like, baby girl, what's wrong? Let's talk. Where is this coming from? It's so evident to me, you know? So it blows my mind how many adults around me could not see how I was drowning and screaming for help. If anything, it's almost like they were holding my head underwater.
The only issue I had with that is I cannot help you against your will.
Yes, of course.
And I had to put up with whatever I had to put up with till you are ready to receive the help. Alhamdulillah, it was.
But that's a beautiful lesson of a lack of attachment, because you're a father, and we're talking about your own blood, your lineage, your daughter, and you know, I think in Islam, كمان we say البنت برأبت أبوها بيوم القيامة.
Absolutely.
Which means in the day of judgment, we are on your neck in front of God. You know, you will be asked about what you did as a man for your daughter. So that's a prime example of a lack of attachment where. Before, when we talked about you can take the camel to the water, you can't force it to drink, but you still have to take the camel to the water. And you very much did that with me, which really taught me in my older years that I will never try to help someone against their will. Never. It's not a thing I will ever do because I love them enough and I love myself enough not to do that. I believe in the power of planting a seed. I will always be a call away. I will always be there when you need me. I will not give unsolicited advice. If you ask me, I will be honest. I will never lie to you because I refuse to meet my creator a liar. And I believe in giving so much love and enough truth that without the attachment, the seeds take root. God has a beautiful, mysterious, miraculous way of working with our subconscious that we have no control over.
You know, you cannot feed people or force them to drink water against their will.
Yeah.
It's in many, many countries, it's illegal.
It's inhumane. The force feeding, yeah.
Yeah. So let alone force them to adopt your own thinking or to see what is right for them.
Yeah.
This is the word see. You see.
Yeah.
Through your own eyes and your own reflections.
Yeah.
Not through mine. Regardless how clear my vision.
Yeah.
If either you have faith and take my vision and say, okay, I believe you.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it. And then I'll wait for the results. Or, which is a high level of submission. Rarely you find it around now.
True.
And the other one is patience and prayer and lack of attachment. Whatever happens is going to be good at the end. Whatever comes is going to be good at the end because it's the learning process.
What's bil Quran inma bi dhikrillah tatma'innu al qulub?
Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innu al qulub.
Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innu al qulub, which means it is through the remembrance of Allah, God, that hearts calm down. And I was thinking about this not to be a philosopher of religion or afti al Quran, but just for me. You and I always say that God is everything good. And everything good comes from God. And everything bad comes from you and from the devil. And the sooner you reconcile this ideology in your mind, the easier life becomes, right? Because you take control back of all the negativity in your life and you can do something about it and take control, which is phenomenal. But I was just pondering over that and I was thinking how, okay, if everything good comes from God, just the act of thinking positively is thinking of God. Because even when I think of good things like, oh, I had such a good day today, in my mind it's like, alhamdulillah, this came from God. I'll think, oh, Dad and I had a really good episode today. That's me thinking of God in a positive light because all of this in my mind, I reconcile that it comes from Him. So it's interesting that just the act of positive thought and positive words and positive ideology is a form of worship of Allah.
Absolutely.
Does that make sense?
Very much. The ayah says, ما بكم من خير فمن الله وما بكم من شر فمن أنفسكم.
Yeah.
So all that which is good is a heavenly gift from God.
Yeah.
Is actually direct gift from God. And each and every harmful thing or evil or bad thing.
من النفس.
من نفسك.
Yeah.
And then the concept of the nafs, the concept of the nafs, you rarely find it being explained except in the spiritual history and in this in spiritual texts of Islam and few other religions, spiritual paths. It's the ego. It's what we call the ego.
Can I say something about the ego? Just to go back to the girl in the car. A lot of the times, A lot of the times on the show, when we say a few things, and then I clip the reels and I post it, and I post about, for example, when I said, there's nothing you can do about the parents that you had and the trauma that they bestowed upon you, it's done. But what you can do about it in the future and everything you do moving forward today is entirely in your hands. And that's such a blessing, despite it being very difficult. And a lot of people in the comments will be like, easier said than done. You can't just say that about people who are traumatized. I really want to tell those people, number one, okay, fine, stay exactly as you are. I'll give you exactly what you want. Stay exactly as you are. I don't know who that helps, but fine. It just reminded me of a quote of, just because I understand your behavior doesn't mean it's excusable. And with that girl in the car, she could have been traumatized, abused, had a really horrible day. And I can empathize and sympathize and everything, all the eyes, you know, of why you're such a broken soul. It doesn't justify or excuse your behavior. You can't keep bleeding everywhere because you're unable to control your wound and you keep saying it's easier said than done and no, but a parental wound is too traumatic to fix. That excuse doesn't work anymore. You don't have the right to bleed everywhere and on everyone.
If you have the bliss of being in an air conditioned car when it's almost 50 plus outside.
In the heat of the Gulf.
Yes. You cannot scream, I'm a victim.
Right?
Absolutely.
It's just, and I don't know how to explain it, but anger doesn't look good on anyone.
Anger doesn't look, I was talking about this in the way here.
Really?
Yeah.
Anger doesn't look good on anyone. It's not just it doesn't look good, you look disgusting. And I'm using this word very specifically because when you're from the outside looking in and you're just watching someone, even if it's justifiable, even if they have a very solid reason to be angry, just the way it spews out of them, especially when I see someone yelling at a waiter or at a janitor and with this haughty, mighty, holier-than-thou attitude, I'm like, yo, you need to tread really lightly because you're going into God's realm right now and God will break you in front of the people you tried to break. I will scream this from the rooftops. If he puts you back together in front of the people who broke you, he will smite you in front of the people you tried to smite.
I learned to watch my tongue. This is an incident story that happened. I witnessed it. Someone I know was driving his 998 Porsche, which is like 15,000 kilometers, brand new.
Okay.
And he had a small feud with a truck driver.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
He came down, he cursed at the truck driver, insulted him.
Yeah.
A simple young man from an Arab country. And his assistant beside him. So it exasperated. It reached to a point where...
It escalated and the police got involved and lawsuits and stuff.
And I was called and I knew what happened. If you've seen my reaction, and I told him that at the moment, I said, you just called upon the demise of yourself.
Of course.
You've been given all of this bliss to use it to insult people who are struggling. Wait for it to be taken from
you. Of course.
And you know what happened?
Of course. It was taken away.
It was taken away. It,
in a blink of an eye, of course.
He never recovered.
Of course.
From that moment, it was an incident after an incident, and he never drove that car.
Yeah. And he will never drive a car like that again.
And he will never drive a car like that again.
Absolutely.
It was just a cascade of fall downs.
Yeah.
Guys, you, especially, this is for everyone, especially you women. be careful.
Yeah.
Be careful with the people that you've been blessed.
Yeah.
And you've been sent people to look after you.
Yeah.
In the house, in the work, in the street. Please, a smile will not, it doesn't cost you anything. It opens the doors of heavens for you.
I mean, yeah.
In our religion, one of the greatest bliss, sadaqah, charity, is تبسمك في وجه أخيك, to smile in your brother's
face. In the face of your brother, yeah.
I remember me once smiling into somebody's face, and he looked stunned and looked around and looked for his face. What does he want from me?
Yeah. You know, actually, that's kind of a heartbreaking thing to bring up. That's incredibly heartbreaking, because it just begs the question, when you really like think about it, how many people go about a day or two or three or a week or weeks or months and having not heard a kind word or having received a kind gesture? And this is something I'm really grateful to my friend Sarah. If she likes someone's outfit or someone's hair or someone's shoes, this woman will go out of her way to let that person know. And it's so admirable. So I did it in the gym just yesterday. I was with my trainer and we were working on upper body because I want to get my pull-ups. And a girl in front of us was on fire, pull-ups and the like upper body strength. That's insane. And it was so admirable because I know how much training that takes and how much discipline and how much self-love and just the commitment. So I was like, I'm going to tell her. Ranwa, my instructor, was like, absolutely tell her. And I just looked at her. I was like, excuse me, I just want to tell you, you're amazing. That was phenomenal. And she just looked at me. And it was 2 seconds of awkwardness, but then it sunk in and she was just shocked that someone said something nice to her. And she was like, oh my God, really? Thank you. I was like, absolutely. You're killing it. Keep going. And it really made me think about, when's the last time someone said something nice to her? You actually don't know. That woman could have not had a kind word or a kind gesture in days.
Don't you ever take this world for granted.
Yeah. But you need to go out of your way to say something nice to someone.
Yes,
you should.
The cycle of life. If you are up, you can be brought down.
Yeah.
If you are rich, you can be made
poor.
Poor. If you are healthy, you can
be made very sick.
Dying sick.
In a lot of pain.
In a lot of pain.
Yeah.
Don't you ever take it for granted. Absolutely.
It's the art of being human.
You know, the essence of humanity is vulnerability.
Yeah.
Extreme vulnerability.
What's more vulnerable than being truly grateful, though? Because you have to sit and kind of acknowledge that none of it comes from you and it can be taken away, and it's so overwhelming how grateful you feel. What's more vulnerable than genuine gratitude?
If you are at that stage, you can actually recognize the bliss that you've been given and acknowledge it and talk about it.
Yeah.
But you knowing very well that the giver is the taker.
I mean, of course. Sally always tells me, يعطي من يشاء من غير حساب.
ويرزق من يشاء بغير حساب.
Yeah, يرزق من يشاء من غير حساب. It's so interesting because we'll be talking about so many things, how people were randomly blessed or something, and she'll be like, يرزق من يشاء من غير حساب. It's not in your hand. You don't control who he gives and who he takes from, but you just do your due diligence in being the best human you can be and being grateful, and then subhanAllah, how things change.
In the hadith Qudsi, لأرزقن من لا حيلة له حتى يعجب ذو الحيلة.
Yeah. You've mentioned this before. Can you explain what it means?
I bestow my rizq, my blessing on that who has no hila. Hila might be, it has many meanings in Arabic. One of them is trickery.
Yes.
And the other is the ability to do things.
Yes.
لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. So you can take it this way, you can take it that way. And there you can take it many ways. In general means, I shall bestow my giving and my bliss on those whom you will be surprised. How could they get it?
Yeah.
Like because it's not your decision who takes or not.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's you don't decide.
You know, but it's also very interesting because speaking of not deciding, a lot of people, both of us actually included, alhamdulillah, not majority of the time anymore after some self-training, but en général, this idea that people really need to be in control. And they really need to know the outcome and know how things go about and know and know and know. This idea of needing to be in control surprisingly causes a lot more anxiety than the art of letting go. I've really recognized that the more I've let go and I've had this yaqeen and this faith in God that things are going to work out, the more at peace I felt, which is crazy because you're actually not in control at all. And it's just the acknowledgement of it and the letting go and the tawakkul. It brings so much peace. But the more I've tried to rein a storm in, which is uncontainable, oh, the way more anxious, the way more... My psyche is just destroyed, truly.
It's very simple. In this case, you're blaming God, and you're not.
Yeah.
You're just a broken human being.
Yeah.
See, one of the beautiful concepts that I carry from my faith is the fact that Allah Jalla Jalalu, our mighty creator, had hidden his saints around, has chosen ones. The people with pure hearts, that if they make a prayer, no door is shut in front of it. The doors of the sky are open for it. The doors of the heavens are open for it.
Yeah.
And they are hidden around. They come in all shapes.
And sizes and ethnicities.
And sizes and
yep.
Males and females, young and old. It's
facts.
It's an inner secret between that individual and his God. And in many cases, even that person doesn't even know it.
True. I agree.
Because if you're really into that state, you're not announcing it.
Yeah.
You're
not even focused on it.
Exactly.
Your ego isn't involved in the process.
But imagine yourself breaking the heart of one of those people, one of those selected ones.
Yeah.
Because he was put in your way for a reason, maybe to open a door of bliss for you.
Yeah. What he's trying to say is it could be a beggar on the street that you encounter.
It doesn't have to be a beggar.
It could be a waitress, a colleague, whatever it is. They don't literally show up with a beard and a linen fit like in the movies.
I would say
it could be anybody.
I would say a muscly guy with six packs, with a short in waiting for his coffee in a cafe. How would you know? What kind of a heart he has?
Exactly. It could be anyone. Yeah.
And by the way, it's not true that poverty is always associated with sainthood. Some of the worst people are poor people.
That I know. This is something that blows my mind with the Muslim community. They associate piety and sainthood and being so divine and close to God with poverty. No. No,
it's
I can
not.
Be very rich and very Muslim. I can be very rich and very close to God. If anything, why can't I use that blessing and that wealth that God bestowed upon me to better my ummah, to give back to my society? But why is my metric of sainthood with my poverty? Bilax, is it not such a metric if God has blessed me? What I do with that blessing, where I choose to spend that money, is that not the biggest of tests?
What's
that hadith about money?
نعم المال للعبد المؤمن.
نعم المال للعبد المؤمن. That means even a good habd mu'min can be blessed with so much wealth. Why? My Sayyidatna Khadija had money.
And actually, you know...
And what she did with it was help the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. And then there are other people within the history of Islam who then helped the Prophet and others who didn't, who were stingy and tight-fisted. But the ones who helped, just as Muslim, as people who didn't have money, who were like, I'll give my life to you. That's all I have. What's the difference? You give what you have.
You give from what you have.
If I have a lot or I have little, but I'm still willing to give from the a lot or from the little, I'm still a giver. If I have nothing, a lot and I have nothing, and I still won't give you anything, I'm still a greedy person. Rich or poor, you're still greedy.
one thing, it's rarely mentioned. No, like I don't see our scholars even talking about it. What did Sidna Khadija alayhi salam Allah give the Prophet? After marriage, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi al-kiram, she gave him her money to trade with.
Yes, I do know this actually.
Okay.
Mm.
Which tells you that he was a trader.
Mm.
Which tells you he knew how to handle money.
Absolutely.
Which tells you it was okay to be successful.
Of course.
Thank you.
Of course.
I'll stop here.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. That's anyone who I will stop there. So I read a quote the other day that I thought was very interesting, because I am absolutely a victim of this, in the sense that I made myself a victim of this. I like willingly did this to myself. And you're going to sit here and preach, I told you so, which is fine. Okay. Maybe your garden isn't growing because every time a flower grows, you cut it to prove to someone that you're a gardener. I did this more times than a woman should admit, because when you come from struggle or strife, or, you know, God puts you through that test before he blesses you, there's this sense of insecurity, or of I'm undeserving, or of whatever it may be, where every time I'd grow a little garden, a rose, a tulip, I would just cut it to prove to unworthy people, here, I am a gardener. I am able to do things. Look at me. Please approve of the fact that I am good enough. And it was so detrimental, because do you know how hard it is to grow a beautiful, award-winning flower? It takes a lot of effort and a lot of sunlight and time and care and positive words and love. And then they don't care about the flower. They let it die. It's ridiculous. And the day I decided, you know, I want to grow my garden for myself, for my Allah, because he deserves the earth that he blessed me with to be beautiful, and for the people who want to come enjoy the garden, it's been a lot happier. And you know what? The butterflies have come. When you tend to your garden, the butterflies come. You don't chase them no more. It's such a different way of living. But I really was victim to this. I fell for it. The designer stuff, the whatever it is, just to prove, like, see, I finally made it. And I'm so over it. Beyond over it.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. I remember my child at the age of maybe 12.
Which one? Me or your son?
My son.
See? Bear witness to this?
He had this crush on gaming.
Oh, he was obsessed with gaming for a little while, yeah.
And I really didn't like it, but how did I help him get out of it? By going to Kuala Lumpur and buying him the largest.
Oh, I was with you in Malaysia. We bought the Alienware or something, was what he wanted.
Everything a gamer
would dream of. Like a gamer's wet dream.
Yeah. That's, and then the chair and the sit and the whatever the paraphernalia.
The whole
was.
Thing, yeah, the whole thing.
Yeah, like, take it.
You know what's very interesting? It was very shortly after that he, like, snapped out of it. And now he, like, every now and then plays a game with his buddies. He's so focused on, like, making money, building an empire, making the name of himself.
That's fine. If you resist children, it's just you delay their growth.
That's true. That's absolutely true.
You delay their growth. I have issues with him now, intellectual issues. And I would, like, no, it's okay, let him, wherever he is, he'll get out of it. Like, he doesn't have to be a copy of me.
You know what's very... Yeah, can I mention something about Zemo? I don't know if he'll let me... He will let me say this, because he says it's all of his friends. He and I were speaking on the phone the other day. My brother and me, okay? So, actually, a few weeks back. So, a few weeks back, I was on the phone with my brother, and we were just discussing so many things, and he was telling me about someone who was younger than him, less experienced than him, that he was talking to, and he was just saying, oh, they were just, like, so stupid, or they weren't understanding, and it came off a little not how he intended. I know my brother's intentions, and I just said something to him, because he's 6 years younger than me. I was like, Zemo, you think when I talk to you, I don't think, oh, this idiot, this dumbass? I was like, you're 6 years younger than me. You haven't started your own companies. You haven't been through the hell that I've been through. You will. I know one day you will start your companies and you will be rich and successful. And I don't have a shadow of doubt, and I will be your number one cheerleader. But I was like, but in this day and age, today, in the present, it's like, you're 6 years younger than me. You haven't started what I've started. You don't think I talk to you and think, oh, he's so stupid and ignorant? I was like, of course I do. But you're my brother, and I believe in your potential and who you're going to be. And it is my duty as an elder, even if it's only 6 years, to be patient with you, to listen to you, to plant seeds, to give advice when you ask for it, to be an ear to listen to you when you need it. You have to be the same for that person. Otherwise, it's not fair, and you can't ask it of me. And it really blew his mind, because he was like, I tell my friends that you said this to me all the time now. I'm like, she told me. She was like, you don't think you're an idiot? And he was like, yeah, I am an idiot. But it's such a beautiful moment, because now he goes about with younger people where he's like, okay, I'll listen to you. I will take my sweet time with you because you deserve it. Because one day you will be the future who will listen to someone who is 6 years younger than you.
Yeah, if
the art of being human.
If you see it, and I know you do, like me with him now, it's the same. It's like I allow him to.
I debate this a little. You're a little too think my way. You are a little my way or the highway. We've discussed this many a time.
No. It's not my way or the highway. If you want me to change my belief,
it's not going
to
happen.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah, but that's
I'm going to leave you for your own, whatever you're stuck in.
Yeah.
I'm hoping and praying that you get out of it and you see.
Yeah.
I did not get where I am now because it was an easy journey, especially with
I agree. Yes, I understand.
It wasn't.
Yeah.
And you know, guys, it is a painful process to let go of your own thoughts, of your own beliefs, of your own conceptions.
Yeah.
Or conceptual basic facts that you've been fed as reality.
Yeah.
You go and examine them and you find like, wait a minute. And then everything around you comes and attack you. Because now you're what you're telling me? You know what? I saw it. And I know what I saw is the truth now. And I keep my truth most of the time to myself because not everybody is capable of handling.
I understand.
So sometimes a bit here, a bit there.
Yeah.
But I keep that. If I come and share with you a bit of my truth, it's a sign of my trust in you.
Yes, of course.
But if I find resistance, I'll take 2 steps back and keep it and pray.
Well, yeah, isn't this the saying of you shouldn't speak to people who don't listen or refute you because it's disrespectful to the little bit of wisdom that you have to share.
And that's how I saw my saints, how I saw my masters and those who have blessed me with their knowledge.
Yeah.
I've seen how they handle my ignorance for decades.
Yeah.
They never try to shove anything into my head.
Yeah, it's with a lot of grace.
There were illuminations, words said, sentences said that I never forgot.
Mm.
And at the moment, they could have looked or sounded so awkward.
Yeah.
That your ego wants to reject them and wants to debate them. And I said, wait. Just shut up.
We don't cuss on this show.
I did not.
I'm proud of you.
I left a
proud
lot
of... Everyone's going to be like, no, we've heard you cuss a few times. I know, I've slipped a few times.
And me talking to myself, shut that up.
Yeah.
Because you don't know. Wait. And I know incidents where it took me 2 to 3 decades to come.
Yes, to the realization. Yeah.
Of what a sentence that had been said to me 30 years ago.
I'm telling you, the power of planting a seed, I really believe in it because I'm 30 now, but everything I am today is because of things that, Dad, I remember little things that you told me when I was 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and it's today that they've really masticized and materialized. I really do believe in the power of planting a seed, but subhanAllah, based on what you were saying as well, isn't it crazy how sometimes the best thing you can tell yourself is to just shut the hell up?
Just shut the hell up.
It's the best advice I've ever given myself.
You know,
you don't know what to do? Shut up. You don't know what to say? Shut up. You don't know where to go from here? Just don't do anything. Just keep quiet.
I was talking in the car and I'm like, I've been fascinated. You know, all of my life, people around me sometimes think that I do things because I'm biased to... But in reality, I just want to know.
Okay.
I just want to know. For the last few weeks, I've been watching what they call the body cam camera.
Body cams?
Yeah.
With like police officers?
Yeah,
the body cam footage. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
The simple arrests or stop of... I watched maybe 40 of them, and I found that a major trend.
Okay.
Which you cannot miss it if you watch them. If you watch 5 or 3, you will see it. It's a simple infraction. Stop. Do you know that you are 3 miles higher than?
Okay, fine.
And you could see how it escalates from something that you could have stopped, especially if the driver is a woman.
Is the person escalating the officer? Or
No. In most of the cases, and those that I'm talking about are really polite officers.
Are these in America?
In America.
Okay.
And but it's a trend. You could see it. You could see how when people let their emotions take over, and that's what women do most of the time.
Yeah.
How it is so difficult to just stop.
Yeah. Oh, once the panic overrides the system, it's almost impossible for people to stop.
And like from maybe a small ticket of $20. To 2 years in jail.
Yeah, you're arrested. Yeah.
And few thousands of damage. Maybe tens of thousands of damage.
Crazy.
And how it always, like I'm not talking here about what I call a U-turn. A U-turn is when you realize that you're doing the wrong thing, stop and say sorry and go back and try to correct what you've done.
Things there's no coming back from.
I mean, the police here is an authority.
Yeah, of course. But I love Dubai police. They come to the Giving Family. I tag them. I love them.
Alhamdulillah. They're genuine bliss.
They're actually nice people, truly. Like, they're very sweet, very funny.
it's that how the brain of mainly, in this case, women, deal with authority.
Yeah.
Because what is the policeman? It's just a simple form of authority.
Yeah.
If you deal this way with the policeman, how would you deal with the father or the husband or an elder brother or the head of the school?
That's what I'm saying. The thing is, 9 times out of 10, people are reacting this way out of fear, out of just deep fear or panic, and maybe they didn't mean to do something so horrible or to react in such a negative way. But again, just because I understand where the behavior came from, it doesn't make it acceptable. So just because you panicked because an officer stopped you, it doesn't make it acceptable that you let it escalate to the situation. Because like you said, then it's in everyday life. That's why the girl in the car, even in the beginning of this video, where it's like, I saw you when you thought no one was looking at you. So how are you behind closed doors? Truly, how are you with your children, with your partner, with your... Because our partners usually get the worst of us, the best and the worst.
Exactly. So the thing is, this epidemic comes from really lacking the ability to deal with authority, with a higher authority in your life.
Yeah.
If this is the way you will deal this person... And in the mind, they cannot distinguish between.
I understand. And
I have seen very polite, very genuinely polite policemen who's like warning them again and again and again. No, it just keeps on pushing and exasperating. And then finally, the shocking thing is, and I swear, almost all of them, when they cuffed and thrown in the car.
I'm sorry.
I did nothing wrong.
Oh, I didn't do anything wrong. Never mind. It's not I'm sorry. I don't watch this footage.
Both. I'm sorry. And I didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
Like.
Crazy.
Like, I really want you to go and watch
send
a few
me.
Of
Have
them.
You sent me? You haven't
no,
sent
no,
me these.
No. Watch a few of them. But don't get addicted to them because they can be addictive like any other garbage.
No.
Because
I don't get addicted
to I want
these
you
things.
To learn from it. How we lost the ability, you see.
Speaking of garbage content, can I say something? I'm sorry, I have to say it. I'm so sorry, okay? So when I booked this studio, because I needed to film with Dad today at this time, this was the studio available. They were like, oh, this is the studio Andrew Tate filmed in. I was like, well, he wasn't on my podcast, so I don't care. Anyway, in real talk though, I just saw the Bonnie Blue and Andrew Tate episode, and I forced myself to watch the whole thing. I have a lot to say about it and a lot that I didn't like, truly, a lot that I didn't like. And I've been a person who said I've agreed with a little bit of what Andrew Tate said. I didn't like this episode at all. There's just one thing I agreed with, which was, I think, the point of him doing this video, was that is the end result of this form of feminism that we're seeing in the world today.
Yeah, but With all respect, he could have discussed it with somebody without her else being.
And, that's what I was thinking. Like, you could have just had this conversation with someone, just a nice conversation sitting across from someone. But without, that was beyond me. I didn't get it.
Why would you let her use your clout and fame and enable her?
It was really hard for me to watch. It was really difficult for me to stomach. And I just didn't like it. And it's almost pushed me. This is my hot take. Every episode we have a hot take, and you're not going to agree with me on this one, but I have my personal hot take. I think if you go too far left or too far right, you suddenly find yourself on the right or on the left. And I think I moved so much in a certain direction, and I was really trying to root for certain men and certain women, that now I'm like, you've left me no choice, but I think I'm leaning more left right now.
Well, let me clarify a very important point here.
Yeah.
When it comes to right and left, we don't have straight lines. Nothing. Look around you. There are no straight lines.
But that's not...
Everything is cyclic. So if you go too much to the right or too much to the left, you will end up...
It is cyclical. I agree. You'll end up back on the other side. I agree. But I really tried. Wallahi, I tried. Because I'm like, I have a good dad and a good brother. There are some good men out there. But with what I'm seeing going on, kind of like you're making it hard for me to defend you. And then with the women... You know, I'm like, they say we can't take accountability, but I've seen some good women who do this and that, and I'm trying to defend you. But then I see things happen online, and I'm like, you're making it hard for me to defend you. And now I'm just kind of like, I'm like, I don't know what to do anymore. I don't even know if most of what I said in the beginning of this podcast still remains true today. In a year and a half, Dad, the world has changed so much. Like a year and a half ago, you didn't have Bonnie Blue, and you didn't have this conversation of people either defending her or saying how unbelievable it is, you know what I mean? And in a bad way. I don't even know anymore where I stand.
Hey, let's not honor her with...
No, of course not, of course not. But what I'm saying is it's just... I think what shocks me more than anything, it's not about honoring her, or it's just the idea of it. I never, a year and a half ago, thought we would have something like this today. Truly, I didn't think it was a possibility. I know, and then we made them the lowest of the low. True. But do you see what I mean?
I do. And we were promised in the holy books that more of this will come.
But it's why one of the things that I did, I didn't run this by you before I posted it, but I posted a video the other day where I was saying anything that doesn't, in the context of Palestine, that doesn't start, middle, end with Free Palestine is just noise, and they're trying to distract us. And I really agree with this. I think everything that's happening, these Bonnie Blues, these football games, these whatever, it's just a distraction, because they have you looking there where you're like, oh, but look what's happening right there. You know, I just think people, you now more than ever, this is maybe my best advice that I could give anyone today. And it's what I'm giving myself. Stay focused. Go to the gym. Eat healthy. Focus on Allah. Stay focused. Everything else is a distraction. I really mean it from the bottom of my heart. Lock in 2025. Because the devil is playing hard at trying to get you on his side. Because he can't make hell look beautiful, but he can make the roads there really tempting and really spicy.
The good news is just a little bit of good work now.
It goes
a long, long way.
That's what I'm saying. Lock in 2025. I mean it. Wallahi, a day goes by and I see that from the morning until night, how much I've changed just because of how much I've seen happen online, how much I had to kind of recalibrate and go make wudu and pray just to be like, oh, absolutely not. We're not going left and right with these laboo-boos. Stay locked in. Focus on God. Does that make sense? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Alhamdulillah, we actually need proper authority.
Stay focused, stay hydrated, stay on that deen. That's all you need.
Well, I mean, by authority, I mean...
I was going to say, what do you mean by authority?
Yeah, by authority, I mean, if you have a father... Get in touch with him. If you have a brother who's still caring, get in touch with him. If you have a grandmother who's still alive, get in touch with him.
I agree.
Yani, I don't mean authority here in its political...
I understand what you mean. I do understand what you mean.
Alhamdulillah.
I think we're done. We have 8 minutes left. But Saraha, I like the flow of the conversation. I don't want to force anything.
Yeah. Going back to those
camera. The body cam?
Yeah.
Go for it.
There are certain phrases that's almost a cliche in each and every one of them.
Cliche.
When those people are told by the authority, the officer in front of
yes.
them, the consequences of what they're doing,
yes.
they will always answer, I don't care. I don't care. Do they genuinely don't care?
Of course they care. But can we also understand that this reaction is out of fear? Because when I've seen a few of these videos, they pop up on your whenever you're scrolling. So obviously I've seen one or two back in the day, but I sometimes feel for them where I'm like, just stay quiet. Just stop panicking. Stop letting the fear and panic override you. But I think it goes back to how you were brought up, how you were raised, how you were... Actually, I'll tell you why the Bonnie Blue thing ties in. Because when I was watching that episode with Andrew Tate and the commentator, mediator in the middle, all the while I'm just thinking, they will always have this problem because they live in societies that aren't God-fearing and God-based. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Say what you will. But what is it when people preach about the safety of Dubai and the safety of Saudi Arabia and the safety of Dubai and you can walk the streets and 4 a.m., 2 p.m., it doesn't matter. We don't lock our doors. And this blessing that we have, first and foremost, it is because it is a government that fears God. We are a God-fearing people and a God-fearing country. Arabs, by their nature, God is at the forefront of our minds. It always has been. And then you go to these societies where there isn't God and they keep debating and feminism and toxic masculinity and whatever. It's because you guys don't have God at the center of your conversation. You will never have here a man or a woman come up and speak the way they do because we're just like, nah, istahadamak. There's God, astaghfirullah. You know what I mean? Don't get me wrong. We've had a lot of things happen. But at the end of the day, we bring shame back. We shame people. Arabs will shame you.
You see, having a sense of shame is a very important thing.
Of course. Of course it is.
And that's what societies, what our societies used to do before. People who do wrong would have been shamed to the point that they have to leave the society.
Ostracized from the community, yeah. Because let's just wrap it up. What's the end result of a shameless society? To feel no shame?
Rot and collapse.
No, it's the devil's bat mitzvah. That's what that is. It's the devil doing the maracas and a hula hoop down in hell. The end goal is a shameless society where anything and everything goes. وما في حساب.
Yeah, and it's also a sense of shameless behavior if you are... Abusing.
Everything that entails shame.
Yeah.
When you
abuse people who are beneath you.
Socially. Oh, like in the beginning. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. This is...
Especially when you thought no one was watching.
Especially when it comes from a woman.
Yeah. Yeah, because we're meant to be just beautiful. I swear. Women are just meant to be beautiful. You're not meant to be doing all of that. You're doing too much. Doing too much. I will end the episode by saying one thing. I'm just going to share because I didn't send you this paragraph, but I will say this on record and I will end it here and I will never bring this up again, okay? Unless I say the same thing again. But I had someone message me. Mind you, this is someone who's veiled, mitajbe, and just a huge paragraph about how I'm influencing the Muslimas and the Muslimas when they see me. And I will say this one last time. My goal here, I'm not talking to the best of the best of the best of Muslims who pray 5 times a day, are hijabis, don't drink, don't smoke, do wake up at Fajr and do the most. I'm not talking about people who are already heavy on their deen. The goal of anything that I say here is for the people who are somewhat lost or aren't doing everything that they're supposed to do and are being shamed by people like the person who messaged me that, oh, God won't accept your prayer because you don't do this. Oh, God isn't going to let you into heaven because you did that or you don't do this. I'm talking to the people who want a relationship with God and aren't doing everything right and are being told that they can't because everything they do is wrong. That's literally why I'm here, because I'm not veiled, but you cannot and you will never tell me that I can't talk to my God, because you best believe I'm waking up for Fajr, I'm praying my 5 prayers, and I'm talking to my God whenever I so damn please.
Alhamdulillah.
That is the goal of this podcast. I'm not here to talk to اللي متممين مكارم الأخلاق ما شاء الله عليكم. Literally, all of you think you're prophets. Do you know what I mean? I'm not here to talk to them. I'm here to talk to people who maybe have been so good for 6 months and yesterday he or she slipped and had a drink. I'm here to tell them, yeah, you can talk to God again tomorrow.
Yeah,
maybe. You can wake up and still speak to him.
And also to those who are seeking and trying to find a common ground.
Yeah.
You have already reached, you have already established your behavior, you have already audited your own behavior, and you have already claimed the sainthood or the Salih title. That's fine. Good for you. Like, what about those people who are just seeking?
Yeah. And who aren't there yet. So I don't understand. It's either you're a kafir, or you're fully there. We have no in between. Was the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam not patient, not merciful, not a teacher, not a mentor, not a mercy to the world? Did everyone suddenly become a Muslim overnight? No, there is a process and a journey and a patience and a respect and a hikmah. Give people the time. Give time the time to do what it needs to do. Some people are on God's time, and it's not up to you to decide. And it's one of the things, I'm going to be honest with you, that has completely turned me off from the Muslim community online. The way they are, the judgment, the haram police, absolutely not. ما بطلع لكم.
Yeah, there is a lot of judgmental attitude, especially when you go to especially for those new Muslims. A lot of I've met and I worked with a lot of them.
Yeah, the rigidness.
The new Muslims that come into Islam and how they are treated by other people in the mosque, or because he has a tattoo, or he still have a ring in his ear, or well,
I sent you the video of the imam who was talking about this.
Things.
Yeah, of course.
I experienced.
But I sent you the video of the imam. You can't say something.
I experienced them. I saw people flee because of.
So the person who sent me this video, I sent her that video, and she still tried to justify why she was approaching me. My whole thing is, I will say one thing, and this is my hot take. This is actually my hot take. This is my hot take as a Muslim. If you approach anyone with unsolicited advice about, oh, brother or sister, you need to be doing this, it'll make you a better Muslim, when no one asked you, don't tell me, oh, it might have been coming from a good place. You are absolutely on your high horse thinking you are better than them and giving them unsolicited advice.
Yeah.
Stay in your lane. You don't know what's in their hearts. I don't know what's in your heart. Everyone, go clean your own closet. Stay in your lane. You don't know what's between them and Allah. If you are ever approaching someone like that with a holier-than-thou attitude, it is because you think you are better than them, and it is never coming from a good place, and that is my hot take.
It's okay. She can do herself and do you a favor and not watch your...
Unfollow me. You can go. Yeah, yeah. And also, I never claimed to be an influencer for Muslims.
No, you are not, and you are not qualified to be.
No, I'm not. I'm not a sheikh.
And I am not qualified.
I know.
To be.
So even when people message me, like, can you explain this ayah? I can't.
No.
I just, when I talk about ayahs in the Quran, I'd be like, I was reading, or I came across, and it inspired me, and it helped me. I'm not.
We share our own simple reflections, our own experience, and it is up to you to take and leave.
I will also say one more thing. Mufti Mink told me the more haters you have, the more on the right track you are.
Oh, I like that man.
I love that
I
man.
Love that man.
We met him at the airport, and then Cat Williams had a video, a stand-up where he was saying, ladies, if you have 14 haters, you need to make sure you have 16 by the end of the day. So you know what? Bring it on. Bring it on.
Alhamdulillah.
Apparently we're doing something right, Dad.
An-nasu bayna thnay.
بين حاسد وشامت.
بين حاسد وشامت.
الله يجعلهم حاسدين. قول أمين.
اللهم آمين.
Okay, that's the end of our episode.
No.
Ooh, okay. Daddy, this was great. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I love this. This is called The Art of Being Human. That was today's episode. This was fantastic.
Sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. Oh, yeah, okay. All right. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa
barakatuh. I'm going to say one more thing. Free Palestine. I'm going to keep saying it. I'm going to end every episode by saying Free Palestine. It's about
Allah,
time.
Allah kareem.
Free Palestine.
Okay. Allah kareem.
Yay!